Welcome to Echo This, where we are empowering conversations of hope and opportunity. I'm your moderator, Lisa Jones. Today, our episode is Grow Your Luck, Sow the Seeds of Abundance. In this episode, we are delving into the art of cultivating a mindset that transforms ordinary moments into opportunities, helping you create a landscape of luck teeming with positivity and possibility. Join us as we explore the secrets to growing your luck and reaping the abundant harvest life has to offer. It is now my pleasure to introduce our Echo members. Amy, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Amy Weishaus, a lifelong educator and learner, and many years in the high school English and journalism classroom taught me that empathy is a very important part of our daily lives. And that empathy creates joy. And that is my basic message. How can we each create joy every day in our lives?
Yes, and so needed, Amy. Thank you. And how about you, Debbie?
Hi, I'm Debbie Wimberly, a quality health advocate. I educate around the endocannabinoid system and medical cannabis to help and ensure that people know that they have the ability with a system that's within them to help them improve their quality of life and health.
Well, thank you so much, Debbie. And I am Lisa Jones, a speaker, consultant, and author that leverages the power of humor, gamification, and play as fuel to enhance collaboration, increase engagement, and maximize productivity. Well, now we'll begin with our episode. Each of our episodes features several segments. And our first one, our first segment today, is Echoing the Hope. We're going to be discussing the Echoing the Hope question. And that question is, how can we cultivate a mindset that transforms everyday moments into opportunities, sowing the seeds of abundance and creating a landscape of luck that blossoms with positivity and possibility? I'm going to be starting with Amy. What are your thoughts on this, Amy?
Well, I like to garden. I have a little garden outside my condo door, and cultivating the soil was what really resonated with me about this question. And I'm thinking about what you put into the environment in which you are going to expect growth. So what we put into it, I consider who is around us, who is in that environment that's going to impact our lives. And I was reminded of a quote by the very famous motivational author, Jim Rohn, who said, basically, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So if that's the soil, the starting point of where I'm going to grow, I think it's very important for us to relate to this idea. Now, as a parent, perhaps you know you always want your child to be with the right crowd. We're very cautious and we're very careful about who are our kids' friends. Who do they hang out with? And how are those people, their environment, going to influence how they grow, what kind of people they become? So it's something to think about. And then when we get to the workplace or into the classroom, you know, there are sometimes we don't want to sit near certain people. We don't get along with certain classmates. Or how about the people in our division at the workplace? We don't always get to choose who our environment will be to create that growth and abundance. So I think it's really an interesting sideline to that thought. Actually, Tony Robbins took it a little bit further about the five people. And I quote, he said, the quality of a person's life is most often a direct reflection of the expectations of their peer group. So if I'm going to be abundant in my life, and if I'm going to grow, and if I'm going to be vitally alive, I need people around me who have expectations of me that are going to help me grow into those visions and help me flourish. So I think it's a complicated question, but it has to begin with a mindset that we can't grow by ourselves. We can't plant the seeds of abundance by ourselves. We have to look around us. We have to take the best from the people around us. And you know, sometimes we have to be the best because we're one of the people that's going to influence them. So it's a big question to chew, and I'm really anxious to hear what some of you are also thinking along these lines and about this question.
Yes, Amy, thank you. And I love what you said, because it made me think of the visual. We were talking about the soil and then the five people, and I then made the soil the people. So it's all about planting the right soil, using the right soil that's around you to grow better. That's kind of what I was thinking from your answer. So thank you for sharing that. And Debbie, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to spring into that by watering all those seeds that Amy just planted, because we sow seeds daily and we carry them around with us either daily, weekly, monthly, and sometimes for years. So this is a very important thing that we need to do to understand that we're dropping these seeds into our body and into our mind. The opportunity is, what do we do with those seeds? Learn to inspect each seed that you've been given and determine whether it's serving you and if it's serving you well. If not, allow yourself to disregard it. I think of it a little bit about like when I'm sorting out pinto beans and I'm fixing to cook them, and you're going through them and you run across a pebble or a stone or something that does not belong in there, and you discard it and you put it aside. And the reason you do that is because, first off, you wouldn't want to land on it yourself, and it doesn't serve you well, and you sure wouldn't want it to impact somebody else. So this is our opportunity to take this and think about and inspect what we're taking in as seeds, because they're all seeds, and then determining how can we utilize those or discard those so that they work well for us. It's really important that you understand you have that ability. So practice sorting out your thoughts and only keeping the ones that serve you well. And if you were to find, and this is when you'll find positivity and possibilities, this will serve you well for living your best life, but becomes one of those tools when you are trying to improve your quality of health, is becomes so important.
Yes, Debbie, and what a powerful message right there. And the analogies that we have today are really good, because that one can be boiled down into sorting seeds. So I really like that analogy that you used and the pinto beans. So thank you, Nell. You made me a little hungry as well. So thank you for that. And my thoughts about this really are, if we want to cultivate a mindset of abundance, I think of it like tending to a vibrant garden of possibilities, which we've all kind of equated to a garden or seeds or something about the garden. But it's about really where we see each moment as a seed, to Debbie's point, ready to sprout into something wonderful. And that's really what we're trying to nurture, right? We're trying to nurture this mindset that let's sprinkle our days with gratitude. Let's water them with positivity and then bask in the sunshine of the possibility of that. And I think if we're work together on this, we can then plant the seeds of abundance and watch as our landscape of luck blossoms with joy and opportunity. So really, I think we kind of all touched on the same thing in this answer. So I do want to circle back and see if Debbie or Amy, if you have any additional comments on this question.
Debbie pointed out a really good point about choosing. And when I brought up the fact that we are a reflection of, let's say, the five people around us, we really also have to be aware that we should not just be passively influenced by them. Sometimes I would think to myself, if there was some group or some friend that maybe I wasn't high on, but I didn't really know yet about my friend, my son's acquaintances. You know, sometimes there's always the annoying doubt that maybe the person himself is the one who's maybe negatively influencing the others for some reason. And you don't like to entertain that thought. But I think that's a good cue for us to examine, what role do we bring to that soil? What attributes, what talent, what mindset do we bring, and how do we influence that group? I think that's really a good way to turn the spotlight on ourselves for a healthy mindset, and to be reflective, to know, you know, there are those expressions, the black sheep of the family or the bad seed or the rotten apple in the group. And, you know, sometimes somebody is that person, and it's really takes a lot of courage to say, maybe I'm not really bringing something good to this environment. I'm not nourishing it, and I'm not being nourished by it. So thank you, Debbie, for that reflection on choosing. Really important.
And Amy, that's such a great point, because as you were talking, I was thinking that could be the nutrients. And then all of a sudden in my head is this contextual model of what we've been discussing about. And the nutrients, like just like we when we're eating, we can eat something that's not a good nutrition choice for us, and then something that's a good nutrition choice. So what kind of nutrient isn't as strong a good nutrient? So that's how I'm looking at that, the role it brings to the soil. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, we just all dropped a lot of fertilizer here, if you ask me.
There we go, fertilizer. And with that,
watch out.
We are going to move into our second segment. And that is the opportunity, because we have all this good stuff. We have the nutrients, we have the soil, we have the fertilizer. We're going to talk about echoing the opportunity. And in the garden of luck and abundance, the question now is, how can we recognize and embrace the opportunities that bloom around us every day? If, and I'm going to start with Amy first, but if Amy, if you can share a moment when a small seed of possibility turned into this flourishing opportunity, and how did you inspire others to cultivate their own fields of abundance?
Well, the incident that happened to me, you might say the inciting incident of my whole career, was really a matter of sheer luck. I went into the College Placement Bureau, the Job Bureau, in my senior year of college. And I was really at a crossroads. I did not know what I wanted to do officially. I thought of urban planning. I thought that's going to be too stressful because I was dealing with a medical condition. I thought of journalism, which I truly wanted to do. Too many deadlines. It's going to be too taxing on my health. And then I always had in my family history and in my love of my sister who had some disabilities, I always had the love of teaching and the love of helping other people. And lo and behold, I'm in the college placement office and a brochure falls on the floor. I pick it up and it's about an intern teacher program for people who went to college and did not take any undergraduate credits, did not do traditional student teaching. But here it was. And it was being offered in the summer to get the necessary credentials. And it was offering a one-year internship. And that was going to be supervised by the university. And you would do your student teaching in a four-fifths program of the course load, the curriculum load. So I had a lot going against me. Many men were applying to teach because of the draft and avoiding fighting in the military. Aside from the abundance of applicants, there was a prejudice that I, being a woman, would teach a year and then get the MRS degree, go off, get married, and not be there. So I wasn't a good investment for a lot of school districts. But from February until July, I persevered. So I did get a cooperating school district. I did flourish and thrive there for 33 years, growing up with my students. And the moral of the story is an element of risk, an element of coloring out of the lines. It was a non-traditional program truly designed to bring people out from the educational, not in education, excuse me, people in corporations, in other jobs, in other careers, in math and science into the classroom to enrich the classroom. And it was kind of like the expressway to teaching credentials. Did it work? Absolutely. Did I flourish with abundance of all the good things in life through my my interactions with my students, with the community? And think about it, I actually grew up there with them. Absolutely. So one small possibility taken seriously with great intention can not only provide abundance in one's life, but the hope that I was some kind of positive influence in other people following a path to abundance in their lives. So that's my story, but it started with luck and it built on this one possibility of doing something. And bottom line, it was just as stressful, if not more, than any of the other careers that I could have taken, because the pressure was there to be up every day to, I don't want to say perform, but yes, you know, to be animated and to be engaging and motivating and, you know, grade papers late at night and make sure report cards were done. Was it stressful? Yes, yes, but it was the best stress in the world.
Well, thank you, Amy. That's such a great story. And I'm also, too, thinking, as you were talking about this one, is for the people that are thinking about being teachers, and you kind of look at the journey of it, like the long road to becoming a teacher, if you're not one today, like, how do you get there? And I like how you kind of boiled it down to you were on this expressway. So anybody else can hop on the teacher expressway and look at all the success that you've had. So thank you for sharing that. And how about Debbie? What do you think about this question?
Well, for me, I was given a tiny seed when I was working in the cancer laboratory, and this is back in the 1970s. And two doctors handed me this seed of knowledge that cannabis could actually help patients treat pain and maybe help them sleep. Now, this was went against all of my medical training. And of course, back in the 70s, there was nothing we could really do with that as much as we tried, but there was a seed was planted. And this seed was always there. And then in 2015, I call it my lucky seed, because that's when doctors gave up on me and said they couldn't help me with my chronic pain anymore. And I went back and I plucked that seed out and I started developing and digging into what that seed planted. And to my surprise, I learned a whole lot, and I'm still learning to this day. And I found, by exploring cannabis, I found this system that we're all born with, which is called the endocannabinoid system. And within that, then I was able to take my health and turn it around and do something that doctors were not able to do. I reduced my pain from a chronic pain of 10 to a 3. And so much more. The story's huge as far as how much it helped me with. But the key is that even sometimes when seeds were planted a long time ago, they have the ability to come back and nourish you and help you in a time when you need it the most. So join me in this journey of finding the opportunities and understanding your endocannabinoid system and exploring the potential that cannabis might provide for you in your health.
Debbie, that's fantastic. And as you were talking, I had this campaign slogan in my head, which is, like you said, 10 to 3. And I added, that's for me. And it kind of rhymes. But we went back to seeds with you. And I like that analogy again. That's such a great story of how it started as a small seed. And now look at all the work that you're doing. So for me, I had many stories of work and then many personal ones, but I chose a mom's moment. And basically recently I witnessed my 5-year-old daughter's first independent shower. And it was a lighthearted revelation of growth, much like realizing she'll soon be driving herself to her own parent-teacher conferences, I'm sure. And this moment, even though it's seemingly small, it symbolizes the power of nurturing the tiniest seeds of possibility within us, because each act of independence, every small beginning, holds the potential to blossom into vast opportunities. And it really reminded me that to cherish and nurture these seeds, be it a budding idea, a small hobby that you have, or even involving relationships. And just as my daughter's steps towards independence reflect her growing autonomy, your small seeds of possibility, when attentively cultivated, can grow into a flourishing field of abundance. So let's let these stories that we just shared inspire you to water your dreams with dedication and care, turning the simplest beginnings into paths of opportunity and growth. And I have been planting those seeds for her to take her own shower for years now. So I'm glad that it finally happened. Debbie, I want to go back to you for a second.
This has all set me on a mission to educate about the benefits and understanding your ECS and a natural plant called cannabis, where now I curate a monthly newsletter to help educate the world and to help bring you quality medical cannabis education and a collaboration working with other coaches, educators, doctors, and scientists. So there's a whole bunch of us that are out here on this mission, and you have the opportunity to learn for yourself.
Yeah, all started from tiny seeds. Amy, yeah. Any closing comments to our second segment?
Yes, very much so. When good things are planted, they spread, and people get the added joy of this goodness and this solution often to people's real life problems. So I just want to add that I am not as well versed in the endocannabinoid system as Debbie is, but I am in the sense that I am empowered by knowing that Debbie is the resource for so much information that's of such value to people. I even had a phone call today from a colleague with whom I used to work in a health organization, a support group, and she's suffering and she is in pain and she has certain things that have gone on for a very long time. I have new knowledge because of Debbie. I have new knowledge because of another friend who went all the way out to Nebraska for help with intestinal issues. There's even a department with Nebraska Medicine called the Department of Intestinal Failure, where they actually do intestinal transplants now. So I wouldn't know any of this if I didn't have these little seeds of possibility and knowledge, as tiny as they are, so that I can tell these people, I have a wonderful resource for you, and this is where you go and try this, because this could be the answer. So when we plant ourselves with a good environment of people, like we are here, we got 2 out of 5 right now, right? So I've got my 2 main people here that I'm going to reflect off. And then it gets a little easier because they bring in people from their network and we all can cultivate together in a collective. And these little tiny seeds blow in the wind and we catch them and we do amazing things with them. Amazing yes. things. We save lives.
That's true. That's some great points.
And I'll hop in there because I think that, you know, Amy's talking about the seeds that I've shared. I think we also have to think about, for me, having lived in chronic pain and illness for 3 decades, there wasn't a lot of joy or play in my life. And finding my ECS, learning how to work with it, leading me to here to meet you two ladies, I have learned how to bring play back into my life and how to bring joy back by the seeds that you started planting at the very beginning and helping me see that this is possible. So this is just a really good place to see how a garden really can flourish and grow in unison together.
Yes. And that brings us to echoing the laughter that we're talking about play and joy. So what better thing to bring joy and play into your life than laughter? So we're going to talk a little bit about our echoing the laughter question. And that is, in the quest to grow your luck and sow the seeds of abundance, how have unexpected moments of laughter become your secret ingredients for cultivating positivity and turning challenges into opportunities? If you could share your most hilarious and luck-enhancing stories that have transformed the game of life into a joyful adventure, I would love to hear yours, Amy.
Well, first of all, let's qualify or quantify laughter. Some of us think laughter has to be this big belly laugh kind of hilarity. And sometimes it's just a little chuckle. And sometimes it's a private joke and only you get it. So I'm going to say, first of all, I think it's a very relative thing to define laughter. And I think what is most important to me to cultivate this wonderful quality, and research has shown that laughter and joy and hugging and all of these wonderful accessories in life help people actually live longer and reduce stress. So I just think we have to make every day a day where wherever we walk into a situation, it could be online at the cashier in the grocery, or it could be a meeting, just to expect laughter. And I think that's going to help cultivate it. An example, I went to a women's networking meeting a couple weeks ago, and I had no idea they were going to have a guest speaker, and the guest speaker was going to be a notable doctor, and she is under the name, and I'm going to promote her because I think she was a fount of information, but she goes under Dr. Sex Fairy. Now, Dr. Sex Fairy has one of the top 1% podcasts, I understand, in the country. So let's, you know, some people are laughing already at the idea, because sometimes laughter is coming out of a little bit of discomfort. We're laughing nervously at something, or sometimes we're just laughing and saying, well, that's cute. I wonder what she has to offer. Well, there was a wealth of information in a PowerPoint that kept me so engaged about the very broad sense of sexuality in our lives, and how physical activity and gyms and whatever and our mindset and everything are so integral to our health. And while there was some laughter because there were some statistics dealing with males and females alike, it was also positive, so healthy, so relevant. And it also has connected to studies where empathy, showing empathy towards other people, enhanced people's health, their health and well-being, all integral parts of what go into a human being's health. So it was kind of funny, like, oh yeah, I went to this meeting and it turned out to be about sex. But in the broadest sense, it was about well-being and abundance in our lives because of fulfillment in our relationships with all people. So that was my kind of hilarious take. And the luck is that it brought connections with other people in a very congenial and a very collegial and happy environment. And now I'm making some connections with some of the attendees because we all had this kind of funny experience together. And it's led to some really interesting possibilities and other good luck that I really haven't even imagined. But I think it's there and it's happening already. So that's my contribution. And I think the woman came from life experiences and relationships where she wants everybody to be happy and whole. And it was really an unexpectedly funny and wonderful afternoon.
That's the best kind of funny, the unexpected kind. And the other thing is laughter really does bond us. So it sounds like what you're describing is a bonding experience. So yeah, I appreciate that. I'm going to have to look up Dr. Sex Fairy after we're done our show today. But Debbie, I want to go over to you for your story, your thoughts.
Well, I'm going to take us to the 1980s now. We've been in the 70s. Now we'll go to the 80s. When I was working for Digital Equipment Company, and I was the project manager of creating a new inventory control system, and given the task of educating everyone in the U.S. utilizing the latest new networking technology that DEC had created. And they asked me to create a movie to tell a story of the past and the present. And I'd never written a movie, a script, or anything. And I found myself having to do a script, hire actors, edit a show, the whole thing. And it was way out of my comfort zone for sure. But I thought that, you know, I need to showcase what is possible. And this allowed me to understand what is possible in my work environment, what's possible within me. And it was a great success when I finished all this. And I thought that was going to be the end of it. Well, it wasn't. Because we're such a good success, we run a weekend retreat because we did such a great job, me and my team. And everybody in the whole regional district won this event. And so now they asked me to find the entertainment for the event because I did such a good job. And now that was really outside of my box. That's not something I know how to do. And so it's like, okay, how do I do this? And I have to provide something that's going to impress the executives at the top and also be something that the person that's walking and working in the stock room, working with inventory control, will find this to be entertaining. So I set out on a quest to find a comedian. And I lived in Boston at the time, and I was going around and visiting all the comedy theaters and shows. And I think I had like 4 months. I can't remember exactly how much time I had, but it was something like 4 months. And I was getting down to the wire. And I thought, this just isn't happening, because there were so many comedians that I was seeing that just weren't funny, and I didn't think they were a good fit. And I met Lenny Clark, and I walked in, and he was just brand new on the scene. He was hungry. He wanted to make an impact, and I hired him on the spot. And so we worked together, and he put together a great routine. He brought the house down, and even the executives were doing belly laughs. And so that seed was planted in me just because that I could do this, because I did such a good job with the job that I was given for my real work. But within that, I realized that laughter plays such a big part in what we accomplish, and that we need to be able to provide that and bring that in and allow ourselves to explore the unknown. So even when given the task that's not in your comfort zone, allow yourself to explore that what would be if you scout for things outside of your comfort zone, and you will discover a ton about yourself.
Thank you, Debbie. I did not know that story. It's the first time I heard it. It was fantastic. And yeah, what a story. It must have been a little nerve-wracking trying to in the beginning, because you were so out of your comfort zone. But that's where we go back to getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. And that's what you just showed us. So thank you for leading the way. And it all starts with the tiny seed that was planted. Again, we're back to the seeds. So thank you for sharing that. And I want to talk a little bit about my comedic journey of life, because the example that I thought about for this question was, I once engaged a pest control company to shield my home from the invisible threat of termites. And their inspection revealed that there weren't any termites, yet for a grand sum of $2,000, they promised to keep it that way. So the humor in this proposition struck me. I half expected them to deliver the termites just to justify the cost by dramatically removing them again, but that didn't happen. This absurd scenario transformed my perspective, because it turned a moment of worry into a burst of laughter. It highlighted how life's anxieties can then become sources of humor. They can teach us to laugh at the outrageous, that $2,000 sum for finding nothing, and to find joy in the smallest absurdities. So my tale of termites that I'm sharing with you all were not only saved my wooden foundations, but also my sanity, because it reminded me that sometimes the best way to navigate life's unpredictabilities is with a good laugh. And boy, did I laugh that day. It was a lesson in looking at the brighter, funnier side of life, making the game of life a more joyful adventure.
So Lisa, I'm going to ask you, were you laughing at the moment? Or are you laughing more now after the fact?
No, I was laughing during the moment, because they were like, no, you don't need termites, but you can pay us $2,000 and we'll keep it that way. Like, they were basically saying, we can't find anything, but if you pay this amount and put the base stations around your house, you can prevent them from coming. Like, how are they going to guarantee that? So anyway, yeah. That's a good question, though. I will not say what pest control company it was, but if they're listening, they probably know who they are. Amy, do you have any final thoughts for this section?
No, I just think it underscores the fact that laughter is healing, it's motivating, and we all really need to see it, even in the smallest things.
Yes, so true. We do. We need to see it. And you're right, like what you were saying at the beginning, not everyone has the same they don't look at laughter the same way or define it the same way, but it's, you know, sometimes you're laughing at something and you look around and nobody else is laughing. You're like, that was funny. Why isn't anybody else laughing? So it just depends. We all have different personalities and find different things funny. So that's why one thing works to make somebody laugh. It doesn't for somebody else. So you have to find what makes you laugh. And that, now it's time to move into our fourth segment, which is echoing the enigma. Because one of the enigmas for me is, why aren't people laughing at some things that are funny? Which is an enigma in itself. But I think that's probably for a different day. Because our question today is, how do we infuse our lives with a sense of intrigue and mystery? How do we nurture the seeds of opportunity and abundance to flourish in our everyday experiences? So, Amy, if you can share an enigmatic moment from your own journey and illuminate the unexpected treasures that emerged when curiosity met the unknown, echoing the theme of growing luck and sowing the seeds of abundance.
Abundance here to me is having a life, our garden, of diversity and respect for other people and other mindsets, other ideas around us. And that's what ECHO, our group, our collective, stands for. Echoing conversations of hope and opportunity and providing a safe, respectful forum for people to express themselves and to find their voices. And it's interesting because I'm very much in the classroom in this episode. I find myself, and I went back to something that always intrigued me. It was not my immediate experience, but I've done certain things along this theme. And it goes back to 1968 and a third grade teacher being asked by one of her students, why was Martin Luther King shot? And at a loss to teach her students about racism and diversity, because they were a pretty homogeneous group in the Midwest of the country, she came upon an experiment that she created. And in essence, she made blue-eyed and brown-eyed children the factor in this garden, in this classroom. And she told them that research suddenly showed that, you know, the blue-eyed children are magnificent, they're bright, and they're funny, and they're more intelligent. So she put them at the front of the classroom, and she treated them like that, like they were special, exclusive. They even wore little armbands. The kids in the back, the brown-eyed children, they were bullied a little bit by the others. And, you know, it became, oh, you're a blue-eyed child, and, you know, get away from me. And it was amazing what was happening to the classroom. Well, fortunately, it didn't go on that long where they were abusing each other or having this tension. The next day, she said she had it wrong, and it was the opposite. So the brown-eyed kids came to the front of the room and the blue-eyed kids to the back. But this spilled over into the lunchroom, into little perks that some of them got and some of them didn't. And I was thinking about it. And when the experiment ended, it was a very successful landmark to teach students about all the different people in our gardens, abundance of diversity. And it actually, she is credited with perhaps being the forerunner of programs and awareness of diversity in the workplace. An amazing woman named Jane Elliott. So in thinking about this and what an important topic it is, our metaphorical garden today is trying to blend people of all backgrounds, of all colors, races, and creeds, and to build them up and to flourish together. So I think the unexpected treasures that we find in the mystery and intrigue of not knowing, and then at the end of this experiment, the children, so relieved, they embraced each other, they cried, and they had a sense about how we create differences and how we want to have everybody cultivated and flourishing in this beautiful garden. So that's where this question took me, and it heartens me every time I think about this educator. I think for over 35 years, she lectured and toured the country, and the New York Times even did a follow-up article in 2020 about her. So yes, let's plant the seeds of diversity and awareness and empathy for one another. And I think that's the garden I want to continue to live in.
Yes, agreed. And that made me think of like just playing on a playground when you're a kid, because you just play with anybody. You don't discriminate against who is playing with you. Like if there's somebody, some kid there and they're playing and they say, let's play, and you play. And then as we get older and become adults, it's like, oh, okay, I'm not going to play with you anymore because of X, Y, and Z. But if we can all just be kids all the time, then we would just play with everyone. And then that would be the whole thing with having all the seeds all and respecting everyone as they are. So well said, Amy. Thank you.
Oh, I just wanted to add appropriately now, thank you, that it goes back to what I said earlier about the expectations of others in the classroom and in life. And when these children were seen as inferior and less was expected of them, they suffered, also declined in their school performance, and they declined in their self-esteem. And it's so important that we really realize the interaction and the influence we have on others.
Yes, that's so true. And what are your thoughts, Debbie?
Well, I'm going to take us into 2015, so we're really moving forward now.
Debbie is very time-bound today. Go ahead.
Well, we're growing seeds, and this is how we do this. Well, for me, discovering the endocannabinoid system and diving into research was a transformation for me, where my curiosity met the unknown. And I embarked on a quest to understand an intricate system and its profound implications on my health and my wellness. The newfound understanding not only enriched my own well-being, but it also inspired me to sow seeds for everyone else by finding an abundance and sharing this knowledge with others and empowering them to take control of their health and unlock all their full potential. So nurture your curiosity. Embrace the unknown to cultivate your health and mindset. The seed of happiness and vitality will flourish, enriching your health, life, and the lives of those around you.
Yes. And I love what you said about curiosity met the unknown. You're powering yourself to advocate, and you do that to this day, and then you help others advocate for themselves. So well said. Yes. Have your curiosity, introduce your curiosity to something unknown today is what I'm taking away from that. And for me, I once stumbled upon an unexpected game night where the dice of destiny rolled in my favor. So if we all picture the game Monopoly, and that's basically a game notorious for testing friendships and patience, right? And as I navigated the unpredictable twists and turn of the board, I landed on the coveted Park Place, which I hardly ever land on, but I landed on Park Place, and it unleashed a cascade of playful banter and laughter from me. And the lesson here is life, much like a game, has its unpredictable moments of luck. So you roll the dice of life with a playful spirit, and who knows, you might just land on your own version of Park Place. Now, I want to circle back to see if Debbie and Amy have any additional thoughts for this segment before we move on to echoing the transformation.
Well, I think Amy brought up something about intrigue, and I think that's an important word here, that being intrigued just makes you be curious, makes you find joy. It actually brings you to a lot of great places. That's a seed that I hope that everybody walks away with today, is intrigue.
Intrigue, curiosity, also, many seeds. And how about you, Amy?
Yes, and also, you know, the intrigue may be the mystery that's really beyond someone at some point, like these third graders. Now I would think the increase was enhanced about wanting to learn about other people and having that pain. You know, the enigma there was that there was pain involved in the learning the outcome to find the hidden treasures among their classmates, although it was contrived, you know, the impact was extremely powerful. So I think we have to look at the pain sometimes in the profit or the gain. And sometimes we have to put our children, our friends and our family through that little element of pain in order to see the growth that is also growth on our terms that we want to see as wholesome for everybody.
Yes. And that leads us perfectly into the next segment, which is echoing the transformation. And a question for our transformation section is, how has the journey of growing your luck and sowing seeds of abundance transformed your perspective on life, unlocking new possibilities and opportunities along the way? So what are your thoughts on that, Amy?
Well, throughout the whole strand of this conversation today, I've been thinking about how does each of us define abundance? Abundance is a very broad quality that we can truly measure in our lives, but we don't always measure it by dollar signs or by material goods. Abundance, we've hinted at abundance of joy, abundance of social contacts, meaningful associations with people that are edifying to everybody. And I was also thinking about transforming through new possibilities. And I might have shared this with you before, but I recently learned how to play Mahjong. And I used to think this was something, being a career teacher and mother and someone who was taking care of her health. Now, that was so frivolous. That was something people do who have nothing else to do in life. And, you know, I guess I was a little judgmental about it, but it wasn't until recently that the opportunity came to learn. And something that I had really had some, you know, mixed feeling about, I jumped into myself. First, I said, there's no way I can do this. It's too difficult. I can't handle this. But I persevered. It's wonderful people and people of all generations. And the thing was that when you have this mind's continuing education, whatever it is, it could be a game like Mahjong or Canasta or Rummy Cube, anything that involves people coming together. I think we create our luck and we broaden our horizons because the people sitting next to us have amazing stories, amazing connections. And I've heard so many stories of luck that happened just by these people coming together and going for a common interest, common laughter. And it's mind-boggling. I sometimes say, what are the odds that that would have happened? What are the odds? The odds are huge. The results are priceless, and they are so amazing. So I would say the journey of luck, sowing the seeds, is trying something new, creating those new possibilities. Don't be judgmental. Go get over your stereotypes. And now I'm one of the Mahjong ladies every Tuesday night, and I love it.
Well, an excellent case study in Mahjong. So thank you for sharing that, Amy. How about you, Debbie? What do you think?
Well, we're going to go from 1957 to 2024 now.
Oh, wow. That's a big jump.
That's my life. And living in chronic health most of my life has had a profound impact on shaping my personal perspective, and especially when doctors tell you there's nothing more they can do to improve your health. And that's when you have to learn to rely on yourself, and you have to start thinking, are there other opportunities? I gave my doctors 3 decades to improve my health, to only find they couldn't do it. My health was declining, and finally telling me that I might have at the most 5 years to live. But you know what? My curiosity and my little bit of Alice in Wonderland decided to take charge, and I found luck when I took that seed that Dr. Nawaz and Noblet planted in me in 1970 and unlocked a new health possibilities, and the opportunity is what allowed me to be here right now to share what is possible if you never give up on yourself. The truly amazing discovery is that I now know I did not have to live the 3 decades so sick if I had had access to this knowledge. So stay curious, always ask the question, what if, and allow yourself to explore. You don't have to just follow. Learn to be your leader, landing and guiding your compass for your health and your life.
Thank you for sharing that, Debbie. And I believe that we all have our 1970 seed. Doesn't mean it had to be the year 1970, but we all have that seed within us that's just waiting to come out and guide us. So glad that you took advantage of that. And thank you for sharing it for our listeners.
That's what I was trying to plant there, is that from 1957 to here, I'm still growing with seeds. You can do this. Everybody's seeds have been planted. You just have to look for them and examine them.
Yes, well said. And embarking on the luck growing adventure, I think it sometimes feels a bit like stumbling upon a treasure map in the game of life, because we've been weaving through this maze of opportunities. We plant seeds of positivity, and then we dodge the occasional curveball. And sometimes that curveball feels more like a banana peel than a lucky break. And as we navigate this whimsical journey together, let's not forget to dance through the challenges, laugh at the unexpected, and celebrate each seed planted, knowing that the real jackpot is the vibrant garden of abundance we create along the way. So I do want to circle back to see if Amy and Debbie have any closing thoughts, an aha moment, a key takeaway, something that you want to share with our audience.
I hope that people listening will think a little bit today about the 5 people or more that they are in close contact with. And Debbie, you mentioned the word leader, to be a leader and to take charge and to be your own advocate and take the reins with possibility and hope to create a wonderful future. And one may be very different from the one that people have suffered through for too many years. So I believe strongly that self-leadership is also a part of it, taking the reins on our own. And sometimes that's difficult, but it takes a lot of courage. And I hope people will examine their people in their close surroundings and ask, where can I bring a little more humor and levity and light to all the encounters in our daily lives, and reflect on how did we do that? How could we do it better?
Yes.
I'm going to reflect on this as Lisa gave us a treasure map. I'm going to follow it with Alice in Wonderland, and we're going to all stop and play some Mahjong along the way.
I've never played Mahjong before, so...
It's good for the brain. It's a new skill.
Yeah, there we go. I'm going to crash somebody's Mahjong party. Look out. Here I come.
You do that.
Well, thank you. The other thing I picked up too, and Debbie had mentioned it earlier, but really that's inspecting the seeds. Like, we have to inspect them too. It can't just like, oh, here's a seed. Let me see where that goes. Like, inspect it. Do I want to use the seed? Do I want to plant it? So I think that is always helpful. And stay curious. So there was a couple of takeaways for me. And again,
I hear more. I agree with you, Lisa. I hear more and more often people are saying, I just don't have the energy for that person anymore. You know, that person is draining me. And the person is kind of stagnant in their lives. And when we feel we can't make positive impact on somebody's life, whatever it is, not to say that we're the authority or the life coach or counselor, but I think everyone understands what I'm relating to. There are certain things when inspecting, are these seeds still serving me? Are they going to enhance the garden? And if not, we really need to move forward. And it's not a bad thing to have realization and to let go. I really believe that. So thank you, Debbie, for that. Inspect every seed. Very well.
Well, and I think here you also need to inspect yourself in this situation. and inspect how you're thinking about and processing things, because we have the ability to decide how we want to think and feel about something. So, you know, I can wake up this morning and say it's cloudy outside and I don't really want to be up today. But this morning I woke up and I put on my shirt that says, life is good. And that's how I started my day. Life is good. So I set that seed this morning so that I could be here and I can enjoy this time sharing it with you and all of our listeners, because life is good. I have breath and I am able to share with every one of you and learn from every one of you.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. Life is good. And inspect your own seed, or inspect the seed within. I don't know, however you want to look at it. But that's great. And as we wrap up our luck growing escapade today, remember that the real magic lies not just in seeking four-leaf clovers, but in the art of cultivating our own luck garden. And that's really what we're doing, because each interaction, every laugh, and the dance of possibilities contributes to a flourishing landscape of abundance. Let's bid farewell with a cheer for the seed sown, the laughter echoed, and the transformations witnessed. May your luck garden thrive, and may you always find joy in the delightful surprises the universe has in store for you. Until next time, keep sowing those seeds of abundance and let the dance of luck continue. Follow us on Echo Together on social media, and we'll see you next week.
Echo, echo.
Echo, echo, echo.
Echo, echo.
Echo, echo, echo.
Echo, echo. Listen in for empowering conversations of hope and opportunity.